Hello and welcome to episode 60 of Forgotten Paths Campaign 2, Beyond the Last Breath.
I didn't even know I could count that high.
Yeah, me neither. Like, it's a surprise. Actually, I've done it once before when we did in the first campaign, and Whoa. Then we got to this campaign. Yeah. It's
repeat. Let's go. That's
right. Back to back.
My daughter's 5, and she's been able to do that since she was 4.
You sound like such a proud dad, and I love it. I love how, like, yeah, my daughter can do it.
60.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm really proud of your daughter, Andy. Speaking of, we have Andy, Sachi, Drac, and Taffy. Hey, y'all. How's it feel?
It feels good.
I have like the song like "This Is the End" just like repeating in my head over and over again. So thank you, Adele.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. And
anyway, if you need us, we are death therapists.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Job description. Yep, you know a sad sack man in your life? Don't worry. So do we. It's death.
He's just a sad boy. Sad boy music. I you know, I'll say it for the record here because I said it after we cut recording last time, but it was took every fiber of my being not just to have him when music you was questioning him last time, just be like, loneliness is all I've ever known.
When I was a young boy.
See, my that father. Would have started combat for us because I would have hurled that man through hell.
Yeah, I know.
You would have. Hands immediately.
God.
You're like, all right. You want to be sad? Don't be sad alone then.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, y'all, so here we are. Last episode. Last episode feels, and you know, when we last left, Death made Burnus a weird little offer.
Cheeky little
counter offer.
So we have officially begun negotiations, but before we dive in, let's Taffy, tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, where people can find you in on September 8th.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I will say, after today, man, the rumors of my channel's demise have been greatly exaggerated, so
chat, you gave them hope, you assholes.
Yeah, that's
we'll see where he stands in September.
Yeah, that's it. Sachi will be cutting this up into a short one. I'm like, she'll have Noah take photographs of me like getting SNAP benefits from like you know going in and getting government cheese, and it'd be like, wah,
but then wah. Also get you in the shower for thirst traps. Like, you can be a hobo, but like a hot hobo. He's been working out, buddy. We should show it off.
Noah sneaks a candid photo of me just weeping while holding a neat whiskey in the backyard because my life's gone to hell, and Sachi cuts it up with like the Sad Price Is Right horns.
I love my job.
That's awful.
But yeah, now for now it's twitch.tv/McLaffyTaffy. I'm writing a D&D supplement. Well, maybe not a D&D supplement, but a supplemental tabletop RPG book with Noah. That we're hoping to get, hopefully, is it full steam ahead by the time this episode comes out.
Either there, we're working with the publisher, one of the two.
Yeah, and I'm currently coaching my son's Little League team. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and Sachi, how about you?
I'm not coaching anyone's son's Little League team. I can tell you that. It's not really.
Coaching your mom's. Sorry.
Last episode, have to bring it back. your mom's baseball team. We're no longer a thing, but I am the coach now. It's kind of an upgrade or a downgrade. It depends on, you know, your thoughts on it. Anyway, I make stuff on the internet. My name is Sachi. You find me in the things.
Do you think you finished Assassin's Creed by this time?
Absolutely not.
Okay, just checking.
Absolutely not. My friend was like, you were very, you know, brave in saying you may finish all the games before Shadows came out. And I said, girl, when I said that, I knew I was lying because there's no way.
Shadows is funny, awesome, by the way. Oh my God.
I wish I knew. Okay.
I've seen so much of it. Then Drac, tell us about yourself. What's going on in your life?
I'm being Drac, which has been a full-time job for quite a while now. In reality, it's only been a full-time job for like 5 years, because weirdly enough, my name is not actually Drac. I know, it's surprising. What? I only took the moniker when I started creating content. But what I do is I am actually coaching your dad's baseball team. I'm actually not, but he's just really into the role play of me playing as the coach when we're in bed. So I'm just getting to that kind of thing. He anyway,
he became a real coach. Drac became a bed coach.
Anyway, I'm Drac on all socials.
You just happened to see Drac.
Your dad makes that mistake pretty often. Anyway, I.
You know what's funny? Noah's mom listens to this. My dad listens to this.
It is opening day.
I'm Drac. Or Draconics. You can find me on all socials at Draconics. That's Draconiques. I do teach and produce stuff. I write, produce actual plays, performing them like this for this finale. And I'm also currently writing a TRPG of my own. I don't know if it's going to be out yet, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. But it's related to the podcast that is also hopefully currently out, called Sacred Machination, which has been a very, very fun thing to be recording. But today, the thing I'm recording is being Reverend Ifeoma Aether for the last time.
For the ever. Last time.
Ever.
Unless you survive and there's a miniseries.
Unless, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, you become a potential cameo person.
Ooh.
Ooh,
yeah. You get to show up in someone's miniseries, and it'll be like their first time play with Noah, and he'll be like, "We have a special guest," and then you'll pop in and listeners
and kill everyone.
Yeah, and then listeners of the show will be
holy shit, that's iffy.
Summon another eldritch fucking god. Yeah.
yeah. And you know, last but not least, of course, we have Chef Andy Lunique.
Yes, indeed. Chef Andy, aka Big Daddy Coconuts. No, I'm just kidding. But you can find me.
Nobody knows that.
You can find me at ingamemenu.com and everything else that you ever need about me. I am the writer of the Ultimate Gamers Cookbook, the Diablo Cookbook, and upcoming tutorial about how to cook using video games in Game Menu. It is a pleasure, and it has been an honor, this being my technically first D&D campaign. I've learned so much, screwed up a ton, and hopefully I'm about to do something
real cool. Word?
Brave, yes. Real cool, brave. I kind of want to die, but you know, we'll see.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I had my first quote unquote on screen death. It's a strangely addicting.
It's so
strangely
fun.
Addicting.
It's
so much fun. Yeah, Sam really enjoyed it, I think. And Sam's going to be listening to this and is going to like post a blue sky and be like, I hated it.
Also, you lost the game.
Oh, why?
Sorry, listeners.
That's from before you were alive.
I know things.
You drinking, you know things, Tyrion?
Yes.
And my name is Noah, a.k.a. my lawyer friend, but you know that. If you enjoy the show, please tell your friends, and if you don't, please tell your enemies. It's the 60th episode. Just tell somebody. You know, honestly, we have so many episodes that if you download every single one of them, we'll probably chart somewhere. So just go do that. And, like, take your dad's phone while he's off being coached.
Follow us on Instagram.
And yeah, take your dad's phone while he's off being coached and download all of it and then follow us on Instagram. All right, cool, guys. So when we last left off, Death made a counter offer to Burnus. Death repeats and says, "You can take over my role, Burnus. You would become the new shepherd of souls, bound to the cycle of life and death for eternity. It is a steep price to pay, of course. It would end my rebellion against the gods."
Oh. So you do have a price.
I do. Of course. In doing so, your three friends here would be the first ones you claim.
Such predictable sad boy energy. you got way too eager on your deal. And I need to understand something. Let's just say, let me take the bait. I take your role. Surprised you don't have a chair.
I do. It's upstairs. It's a throne, actually.
I'm sure it is. Lovely. And you mosey on out of here with no consequences whatsoever? Come on. Nothing's ever that easy.
What do you propose?
You heard my original offer. You want out. I was willing to serve. But for some reason, I can't help but feel like, and my friends can attest to this, you haven't really told us everything, have you?
Make an insight check? With advantage because you asked that question every episode?
I don't trust any of you motherfuckers.
This question finally found its home.
Finally. Finally found it. He'll finally get his answers.
It's 21.
21?
Yeah.
21. 17.
I have the inside advantage, but yeah.
You're right. I have not. I am tired, obviously. If you take my role, you will be forever lost to the mortal world. It would be true erasure. No afterlife, no memory, no trace that you ever existed.
That's not true.
And it would be the same for me. You would become one with the role. You would become one as the god of death, and I would cease to exist. And honestly, that ending sounds peaceful to me. So what do you say, Bernice? Are you able to take down your biggest enemy? Do we have a bargain?
I'm sorry to interrupt. No.
You're not.
Purely because my life is on the line. Like I said, if it had nothing to do with me, I'd have allowed Bernice to say yes or no to this. But now that my life is on the line, I'm going to speak up. No.
Also, what do you mean no one will remember? Remembering's part of death. Did you forget?
But here's the thing, Mizuki. If Bernice were to take up my mantle, he would not die. He would just become death.
Someone remembers you out there. People live a while. Stories last longer. Your name's somewhere in some book. Recorded somewhere. Someone knows who you are, not death. I know who Bernice is, and I live quite a while, and I love to tell a story.
Be that as it may, you have my offer. If Ioma, you've chosen to reject it.
So, we're going to put down the offer we originally came here with, correct? And I'm going to look to everyone.
I did my best, but he... Are you a he? Not important. Obviously doesn't want to exist. I'm not willing to sacrifice you three for someone who has been tortured long enough. But at the same time, it's clear that they don't have enough resolve to rectify the obvious wrongs that's been done to them. So, Reverend, I did my best, but if this person, death, whatever you want to call them, has given up, then I'm not interested. So no deal.
Perfect. The bargain we came to offer you, Kelimvor, is that we will help death regain its meaning. You mentioned that the gods have toyed with you, allowing mortals to return from death, though it should be their final resting place. And while I have seen firsthand the joy it gives many of the people left behind, I do understand that an agreement is an agreement, and the gods giving us the power to go against it is probably some kind of loophole, because in all honesty, until recently, none of us knew that was the contract in the first place. So you turning your anger and wrath on the mortals who had no idea what was going on, who were essentially the tools of the gods, striking a hammer instead of a person throwing it makes no sense. Just want you to know that. But we can speak with the gods. I have a rapport with the gods. Especially if I'm able to say that I'm making a deal with you to convince them to rescind that loophole. Make it so that if someone dies, they stay dead and pass on the way they're meant to. In return, I want our safe passage, that's for one, to return to the mortal plane. And I want the freedom of Glacia.
She's really good at writing a contract.
She's really good at getting out of them.
That means she's really good at making one that you can't get fucked over in. Again.
Make a persuasion roll, Ifeoma.
It's a 22.
Oof.
We eating good today, folks.
Death nods and looks to you, Ifeoma, and says, interesting. You believe that you can convince the gods to honor their contract.
I've been one of the few, in all honesty, one of the few priests in general, let alone from Ilmaidza, who has guided many souls of many faiths to their respective places. I think that has me at least somewhat them indebted to me, enough to listen at the very least, and I can't be very convincing.
And what of the rest of you? Locke, do you think you have any sway over the deities that be? The ones that have betrayed me in this contract?
No. Absolutely not. A week ago, I was an orphan, reading books, barely employed. I'm not certain why you think in the last 7 days I would have developed some intense relationship with the divine. I've only really had any experience with one god, and to be completely honest, it wasn't pleasant.
Very well. Ifeoma, you have offered me something that I am forced to consider. My counteroffer is this. One of you takes on my role. I want out. That person can make whatever deal with whatever god you think you have sway with, Ifeoma. I won't return the three of you that remain to the mortal realm, but I won't condemn you to death either. And Glacia can go free for all I care. I'll open the gate to death, and the cycle can resume as it was before.
You don't return us, but you don't condemn us. Where do we go?
That is up to you to decide or figure out or find your own escape hatch. Frankly, I won't be around to have to deal with it. To promise you anything more would honestly be beyond my power.
You're a coward.
Maybe. Labels have very little meaning to me these days. That's my offer. Take it, leave it, decide who will take it on your behalf.
I'm turned to the rest of the group. I have no intention of becoming a god.
I'm not cut out for godhood. Look at me. I also don't know if I'm cut out to get out of here either. I don't know where here is. Locke just got his family back.
Locke, how do you feel?
Can anyone spare a gold coin?
Yeah.
Nope.
Sure. I'll reach to my pocket and pull out a gold coin and hand over to Locke. What are you doing?
Oh, no.
Death!
Oh, no.
I challenge you to a game of fate.
Oh. Oh. What are you doing, Locke?
What are you doing, Locke?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Our friends at Mage Hand Crest define in the investigator class the game of fate 6th level enchantment as a you magically compel a creature within range to a non-magical game with vital consequences. If the creature you choose has an intelligence of 3 or lower or doesn't speak any language, it is unaffected. An unwilling creature can make a wisdom saving throw to resist this effect. On a failed save, the creature is compelled to join your game. If the target takes damage or falls unconscious, the spell ends. The loser of the game takes 6d6 psychic damage. If no player loses or has won by the end of the spell's duration, both of the targets take damage. Additionally, you and the target creature can negotiate for greater stakes. You can bet higher psychic damage up to 10d6 property or more esoteric rewards, such as bestowal of a noble title on the game. The spell reveals if a creature attempts to bet property they do not own. A bet is finalized when you and the target agree on the bet, solidifying the bet with a handshake or similar gesture. Property or currency bet on the game is teleported to the winner at the game's conclusion. The loser is also magically compelled to take any action, such as bestowing the title promised as part of the bet. Lastly, no magical effect or creature other than you and the target can influence the game's outcome.
Super simple.
Fuck.
You cast Game of Fate?
Cast Game of Fate.
What is the wisdom save?
That's a wonderful question. I will attempt to find an answer for you.
I know nothing about D&D.
That's a supplement that I remembered that Ryan had. And so when you asked for a coin, I knew immediately what the fuck you were doing.
Is that just the spell save DC?
Yeah, it's your spell save DC.
16.
Yours is actually higher than that because you haven't updated it.
Oh.
It's 18.
Okay, 18 then.
Okay.
That doesn't seem that wise. He's a crybaby. Everything's fine.
Oh no, we saw.
Oh my god, you rolled a 2. Death looks at you, Locke, and says, "Game of Fate. What did you have in mind, Locke? What stakes would you like to propose? I'm eager. This is interesting."
Everything about my encounter with you has been complicated.
Yes.
Your Hydra. The cursed deck of many things. The Bagman. The Orb. The Coast. The Manor. Sir Nils. Let's keep this simple. Heads, you go back to your post. No complaints. And do your job. And we will do our best to keep up our end of the bargain and give death meaning again through our influence with the gods. Tails, I'll take your place. I'll do your job. I dare say I'd do it well. It beats some complicated, drawn-out fight. I think there's a beauty in the simplicity of it.
So, to be clear, heads, I reopen the cycle of life and death, continue as before, but the four of you will seek to enforce the contract of the gods.
I don't know if I have influence over the gods, but I can have influence over people.
And Tails, I get you to take my place. And you reopen the cycle of life and death. So either way, your object is achieved, is what I'm hearing. Is this correct?
Yes. I'm young, but I'm finding that apparently I'm a very tough negotiator.
Mm.
That's for sure.
Death thinks. I accept. Death takes the coin. And flips. Heads.
Bok walks up to Death stoically and slowly, quietly extends his hand for a handshake.
Death extends his hand. Lok, feel free to roll 66.
Why is Chrome being so weird to me? Come on now. I guess I don't have 66, so it's got to be Chrome. Sorry.
Yeah, I can correct this. Which card are you going to next?
There we go. 14.
Death winces slightly, taking your hand. He says, a deal is a deal. I'll stay in my role. I'll reopen the gates. In fact, give me just a moment. And he turns, and with a simple gesture with his hand, you hear the sounds of hundreds of thousands of millions of souls crying out as though released from their bonds. There's a flood towards the gates. It rushes past you. It rushes around you. The air is cold. You see, as these souls rush past around you and around Death, he exhales a slow, tired breath. And he says, you are kinder than I deserved. Or crueler, I have yet to decide. His form begins to break apart, unraveling like dust caught in a silent wind. The weight of his physical existence is collapsing inward. It's as if he was never there. You begin to forget the memories of his voice, of his deeds, of his sorrows. And then he's gone, as are all of the souls that were surrounding you completely. The walls of this city stretch and sigh and reshape themselves as if they had never known their former occupant, Death. And then it is silence. And you are all standing there in this necropolis.
Now, just because he's faded and we've kind of lost a sense of the sort of like tangible version of him, that doesn't dilute our understanding of what's just happened, right?
That's correct. Right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, you know exactly what has happened.
Okay. In which case, I walk over very slowly and pick up the coin off the ground and tuck it very sort of with reverence into my vest pocket. I take out a bell with no clapper in it and set it down where the coin was from my vest pocket. It was the same vest pocket. Ifioma?
Yes.
I don't have religion. I don't have any sort of spiritual connections. My only experience or understanding with the afterlife is what you just saw. and taking the briefest of vacations there last week. Would you say a small prayer for Key and just vocalize what I can't right now?
Of course. And I will stand beside Locke and say a short prayer.
Can I take your hands?
Of course.
Okay. Locke takes your hands.
And I'll say a short prayer. And I think in this moment, cast ceremony and use the funeral rites as I, more than anything, I think just talk to Key. I ask Ilmeta for a chance, almost like an opening, and then just talk to Key. Not expecting a response, quite honestly, probably not even wanting one, but just to talk to Key to let her know what has happened, that we're okay, that we miss her. Everything that we haven't had the chance to tell her.
You feel a warmth, Ifioma, Locke, Mizuki, and Burnus as well. You feel a warmth emanating from Ifioma's hands. A silent hug, a small acknowledgement. Nothing consequential. Key's death is permanent. But you know that it is peaceful and that wherever she is, she heard you. The four of you stand in this wasteland. As the light source begins to fade, it starts to look incredibly familiar. The shadows from the buildings elongate, blurring together. It's a gray wasteland. Of nothing. All of your journeys began here. You hear a familiar voice from behind the four of you. So, looks like you did it. As Rabbit steps forward.
He played a game.
Are you Rabbit or are you weirdly omnipotent Void Rabbit?
I don't know that they're different. But I figured, you know, I should come here and see what happened because I had a feeling. And I was back in Omati and a lot of zombies just kind of fell over.
Those are also okay. Hold on. Someone got our door.
Agni goes running. Sorry.
Rabbit, you never fail to surprise me.
Well, here's the problem you got. Looks like you worked out some sort of deal with death. Am I right? Was that you, Burnus, or Ifyoma, Mizuki, Locke? Who was that?
I gave it a shot, but Locke's the one who really pulled this off.
We right. left it up to fate.
Right. Well, here's the problem. Omadi is a desolate wasteland of death still. Those souls don't go back. Do you have a plan for that? All the people that died?
I was hoping that AAA would help with that.
How's the AAA going to bring people back to life?
Suppose... I'm not entirely sure if that's a thing we should be doing. I think we should be putting them to rest.
You're right. But a lot of them were my friends. A lot of them were your friends. And ain't enough people to dig all them graves. So I'm going to pull up my last little card here. That's one final little thing before death starts looking again. Just between us. Is that okay?
If death gets on our asses, it's up to you to fix that. I'm not doing this again.
We could just sit glossy on him. He's kind of a sad sack.
Rabbit's eyes, always previously dancing with mischief, become steady and resigned. He exhales long and slow. I never told you, he murmurs, his voice slipping into something older. Because if I had... You might have thought you had a choice. And for the first time, Rabbit stops pretending. His form fractures, unraveling into something immense, serpentine, woven from silver and light. His presence is no longer small, no longer something that could ever fit in a single moment. Time itself coils around him like a living thing. He is a time dragon.
Ifyoma, I'm beginning to think that this is omnipotent Void Rabbit.
You are all thrown backwards. Not physically, but further than physically, in time, back to before it all went wrong. And there you stand in front of the AAA all of a sudden, back in the material plane. The city around you stands whole and unbroken. People go about their lives, unaware of what nearly was. Somewhere a market bustles, a ship casts off from the harbor, a child laughs, utterly carefree. Rabbit is nowhere to be found. You hear the faintest echo of his voice in your mind. This is the best I could do. Better make it count. Oh, and Burnus, check your left pocket. And then the wind carries that voice away. And for the first time since it all ended, there's space to breathe.
I'm reaching into my pocket now. I don't pull it out, but it's held in my hand.
In your pocket, you feel a rag and a key. Do you pull it out?
Yes.
The rag is Rabbit's bartender rag, and the key has three letters on it. A.
I hold it up to show it to the rest of the party.
You got to keep the bar out of this whole deal? That makes sense.
A
There's going to be some changes around here.
Can I pull out my book? Do I have my book from Glacia still?
Absolutely.
Can I pull it out and quickly jot in, "Did you get out?" question mark.
You just see three letters. Yes.
Oh boy.
About to go hit that. No.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, I was not expecting that.
Cut that, please.
If you owe my luck, what do you do?
I say this out loud for everyone to hear. I'm not hiding it, but I do think I'm directly speaking to Locke when I say this. But I turn to Locke and say, part of the deal, our part, do everything we can in our power to convince other gods to respect death, right?
Yes. And as much as I have spent the recent past seething and hating and raging against them, I do plan to honor our agreement. That said, you're the expert in this, so yeah. I don't know if the word squire is too strong, but whatever help you might need so that we can matriculate our end of the bargain, consider me in.
Not really a fan of the title squire for you. I think just friend is fine.
Very kind of you to say. After this is over, I think I might try my hand at piracy.
I don't think in good conscience I could recommend that. But I suppose I won't stop you.
Kibo comes walking out of the AAA. And he says,
hey, so I need to go over to the weird. See all of you here. I'm going over to the Star Dry Bar while Rabbit's gone to see if he can, you know, pour some stuff for us. Brackagak is you know, giving us some non-alcoholic spirits because I don't feel comfortable pouring alcohol.
What do you remember?
He kind of looks at you and blushes, and he says,
"Well, I am."
And then he runs past you into the Star Dry Bar.
Why does that boy never talk to me? I don't understand.
I couldn't say.
Brackagag meets him outside and seeing you, Locke, says,
Locke, sorry, your package arrived. I opened it while you were gone because it was addressed to the bar, not to you. So I don't go through your mail.
Before he can finish, I hug him.
Oh, sorry. Are you just really excited? I mean, I didn't think you'd be so happy to receive a copy of The Devil Went Down to Faerun.
I am very excited to go back home and drink some non-alcoholic spirits for a minute, and you and I can catch up for a bit. But to be completely honest, Brackagak, I think in the not-so-distant future that my travelers are going to lead me out of Omati. For now, though, is that the only book that was in the box? I thought I ordered more.
Oh yeah, no, that just was late. There's also, And then he goes off to list a bunch of books. And as the four of you enter the Star Dry Bar with Kibo and Brackagak, that's where we're going to end this campaign.
The sea is calm beneath the twilight sky. The waters gently lapping against the hull of the Scarlet Fury. The mast, the tree that took its place, stands twisted and gnarled, its dark bark veined with faint embers of light. Leaves like black glass rustle in the wind, whispering secrets only the ocean hears. A storm rolls on the distant horizon, and then a flicker. Buried in the crook of the branches, nestled among the roots that should not be, something awakens. A dull red light pulses from within the bark, slow, patient, waiting. The tree creaks, groaning like an old wound, remembering the blade that made it. A gust of wind rushes over the deck. The scarlet glow intensifies. The devil's orb has found its way home. Thank you for listening to Forgotten Paths, part of the May Contain Action Network. Our episodes release at least every other week on Monday mornings. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can support our podcast on Ko-fi, join our Discord, and follow us on Twitter by visiting our link tree, which is included in the show notes. Finally, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. See you next time on Forgotten Paths.